Hello everyone, welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Miss Lelobi and I'm riding with my co-host
Lighten
and Gaya.
Hello guys,
how are you?
Hello.
I'm good. You had a good week?
We had a good week.
Awesome.
You're tiring.
No power, but good week.
You're tiring. Welcome to the first episode of the Office Podcast.
Welcome everyone.
Where we help everybody out there to navigate this ever-changing corporate world.
Yeah, no, we're going into, especially now with Eshcom, you need to find a, you need to find your way without a blindfold of some sort.
I know, and you know, the craziest thing about it is it's affecting small businesses. People are going to close down. I mean, I work for a big corporate, but already they are stressing and they're telling us, guys, work from home. If you don't need to come to the office, don't come at all. It's
but
that
I'm
bad.
But I'm expecting, you see, but my biggest concern is we haven't, this is not the first time that we experience load shedding. And the bigger organizations should have some sort of contingency. So there should be generators.
Can I tell you, there are generators. Now we have backup for generators. Generators are actually backup for power. There's backup for backups.
And now we're moving to stage 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's
bad.
Yeah, it's incredibly hard.
I saw someone say something like stage 10 is where now they take all the yellow boats. Yo,
okay,
South Africa.
So we have an interesting show lined up. But before we get to the actual discussions that we are going to have, I wanted to ask you guys.
Yes,
let's hear.
What is? I want to check if you guys are awake.
Okay.
Which country is the second? No, is the seventh largest democracy in the world?
Seventh largest democracy in the world.
And it wouldn't be South Africa. Hey.
Can you give us a clue of the continent?
I'm not telling you the country.
I will not tell you the continent.
I will give you another clue though. This particular country is double the size of the state of California.
Double the size of the state of California. California is really big. So it's a particularly
and
bigger.
This country has over 250 ethnic groups.
Oh, I know.
What?
Nigeria.
Yes! That is Nigeria. Lighten, surprise.
How do you know that?
Ethnic groups.
Because I wanted to say something about indigenous languages. And
that's a lot though. Hey?
Yeah. this is like it's the most. Oh yeah, it's super big.
Yeah, exactly.
GDP is like what $481.1 billion.
Was their GDP not leading or surpassing ours at some point?
Still is. I don't know, actually. You start talking finance. Aren't you the finance?
Exactly.
So, anyway, we are not here to talk about Nigeria, even though it's one of my favorite places in the world. We are here to talk about the office politics. So, yeah. Gia, what are we discussing in office politics?
Office politics, we're discussing the MBA. So, I found the qualification has always been an interesting thing for me, which is something that I actually want to pursue, but I've been, you know, questioning myself. So, that's what I want to chat about today. And whether or not the qualification is still relevant in 2018, 2019.
Let's hear it.
That's an interesting topic.
Let's hear it.
So, I think, you know, I have like a friend of mine who's studying for an MBA, and she has ambitions to go overseas and go in corporate. So I get what she's doing. But some people that I know who are studying for MBAs, they're almost doing it for clout. And also, they're doing it because they want to be in higher level management, and they wanna earn a lot of money, or they want to get into this sort of like, you know, level at work. So
get
So I'm not really sure what's the, I guess it depends with how your career is, how you're mapping out your career, and what you and how it aids in the journey that you want to take to the direction that you want to go to.
Well, so for those who don't know, the MBA is a master's in business administration, and depending on who you ask, some may tell you that the MBA program is a waste of time and money because, guys, it's very expensive. And actually, on my way here, I was chatting to one of my colleagues who's recently graduated with his PhD. And he was like,
you must
actually,
really love torture.
Yeah, no, and he's so smart, ne? But what he was saying to me is like that you were telling me that MBAs in South Africa actually are just on the same level as any degree now. So I was like, oh, guys, no way. So he says that he's trying now to, he's going to pursue his MBA internationally because that's now become the acclaim. So he says, whether you get your MBA from, he says that you might as well just have a degree at this point. So I've never done an MBA, but I've chatted to someone who actually works at Standard Bank and has done their MBA. So we're going to, I'm going to play you her recording later just to, and she gave me, you know, she gave me her views on what she felt was important about the MBA. But, while others are sure or will assure you that the hard work will give you rewards at completing it, some do think that it's really irrelevant. There are other programs that you can do outside of the MBA. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Have done the MBA saying that?
So it's business leaders.
Oh, okay.
So, so it's people who are in business already, who are leading businesses, whether they're CEO. Mm-hmm. So there are very different views on the MBA, which is surprising because in previous times, it's always been aimed for the MBA. It's always been a must-do qualification.
Yes, for the longest time, right? So I think for me, whether or not it's relevant, I don't know. But I think it all depends on each person and why they are doing it. Mm. I mean, if people are doing it like Latin said, because they want to advance in their careers and they think that it will help it will help them to get wherever they want to go, then they should go for it. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the person who did it, I will say. But I think when I look at some of the stuff that happens in corporate SA now, it does hold some value if you have it on your CV.
Okay.
Especially because when we start looking at CEO positions, for example, you will hear that they say the minimum at least that you should have is like an honors degree.
Yes.
So if you have an MBA, then even better. So I think it just depends on why you want to do it. But I would like to know whether, if there's someone who did an MBA 10 years ago, right, and then corporate SA now, is it still valuable? Are you using that information or that education that you learned 10 years ago in that MBA in your current environment now? Because we know things have changed so quickly. I mean, so that would be interesting.
So, you know, I just thought of something while you were chatting. If a lot of the jobs that are advertised and that we want have a, you know, minimum, you need an honors degree or you need a master's degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
My concern is the guys who possibly have the potential to get to those roles, but they have diplomas and certificates, yet the government pushes you to say, you know what, you don't necessarily have to go to university and get a degree, but you can get a diploma. So my concern is exactly that. So what do we then say to young people or to a high school graduate or someone going into varsity and, you know, picking a course? Then what do we say to them? Because if at that point or to get to that level, you need that specific qualification, can they then bridge possibly to get to that particular course?
You know what? I feel like, I'm not sure if this will answer your question, but I always go with this approach that every time if I see a job that I really want, that I think I'm actually capable of doing or could be capable of growing into, I always apply.
Yes.
And for me, I'll always give that advice. And I've gotten some jobs where it was like they wanted someone with a master's and then I didn't have one, but then I applied for it and then I got it. I think sometimes it's your approach. And if you actually have that's a bad word to describe
potential
that. But potential to actually fulfill that position. And if you have a background and experience that backs up that particular skill set that they need in that position, I think, you know, it works. Because sometimes you find that somebody, I have a friend of mine who's a career student. She's never worked in her life, but she's got a master's. And she struggles to get a job because she doesn't have any experience. And nobody wants to teach you the basics of how you work.
That is a good point. Because I also know a guy who was like, had a master's in this and this, and I think he wanted to do a PhD in whatever, But at work, he was just not getting along with people. So it didn't matter that you've got this qualification. But the mere fact that you cannot work with other people, then we can't have you here. So you and your qualifications, goodbye.
Exactly, right?
So I think even with the MBA, you can go and do an MBA. But then I think it's really just about how you use it.
Exactly.
And you need to really think about it, guys, because MBAs could cost anything up to 260,000 rand in South Africa, a million if you decide to possibly go to like... UK, Oxford, or anything of the sort. Mind you, it's the livelihood when you're there as well.
But I'm worried about this guy who says that the South African one is now subpar.
Yeah, so you know, always, guys, there'll always be with every conversation, e-labels. Exactly. Is labels. So, I don't know. But everyone, you know, has their own opinion, I guess.
Yeah, in the South African context, it's. I think
it's still relevant. I think
some weight.
It does carry some weight, because the reality is, guys, how many South Africans can literally up and leave and then just go to, say they're going to Oxford?
Yeah, not really realistic. I suppose that's why you have GIBS with association with the London School of Economics, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and this qualification takes up to a year, 2 years. And it incorporates, you know, modules such as financial and management accounting, microeconomics and macroeconomics, human behavior and HR strategy, research, marketing. So it gives you an overview of the full overview of the business, right? But I'd also like us to also explore other alternative qualifications, especially taking into consideration the fourth industrial revolution. So are we upskilling in such a way that is relevant for our businesses? I mean, the news of Standard Bank... letting go of 1,200 people.
It's heartbreaking. Branches,
the closing of branches. But it speaks to that. Are we prepared as professionals or in our careers? Are we upskilling in such a way that allows us, you know, to match up to the fourth industrial revolution? And yes, as South Africa, we might be delayed and we might take time. But I think it's the conversations that you need to start having with your bosses, with your HR, with your training managers.
Exactly.
What are the sort of trainings that businesses are now, you know, introducing into their workspaces for people, so that they are aligned and are digitally aware of what's going on, so that they're not replaceable.
Yeah, yes,
you know?
That's true, because we kind of having to learn new skills. I mean, just so we can adapt and be able to be relevant, because it's all about being relevant.
Being relevant.
Companies are changing how they work. They're changing what has been working for forever, because now it's a different world altogether.
So you see, there might be opportunity to do something else, but let's see. I chatted to Lee, who works at Standard Bank as well, and she completed her MBA. So let's hear what she says, and she might have something different to what we had to say, but let's hear what she says and what her experience was like.
Hello, Kia. My name is Lee. Some feedback on the MBA qualification. I'm currently heading up retail and business banking in Tshwane Central. So the MBA has contributed towards this, and I completed my MBA in 2016. I did it over a three-year period. How it has helped me in my current position, I decided to pursue my MBA qualification because I had acquired a technical skill. I had, good knowledge on the current technical skill that I have, which is in private banking. And my next move was to get into leadership positions, or hopefully in the future get into an entrepreneurial position. And that is what I would in future want to head up to. So the benefits of the MBA is that it equips you in understanding better how an organization is run holistically. So you get an overview of the financial side, the operational human capital side. And the best time to pursue this type of a qualification would be when you already have some knowledge of a certain technical skill, and when you intend on going into a leadership role, or if you want to be an entrepreneur.
So that's Lee's view, and which seems to have worked for her. She actually completed hers in 3 years, she says.
Wow.
So I didn't even know that opportunity was available.
Yeah, I also thought it was just two.
But I guess it makes sense, guys. I mean, if someone has a day job, a full-time day job, and has to go to class, has to go to school, and then come back, go home, do the assignments at the syndicate groups, it's quite taxing. So it's taxing financially, it's taxing emotionally, mentally taxing as well. So it's something that you have to really... Exactly. So it's something that you have to do.
Sorry.
You literally don't have a social life.
Exactly. So, and as a side note, off the record,
yes,
but being recorded.
Yes.
So one of my other colleagues was telling me how the experience of one another old colleague who did, who was doing his MBA, he says, gossip, that be careful as well. You know, some love affairs tend to
because they're together all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's just a side note. But if it's extramural activities you enjoy, I guess then that would be your avenue. So have we considered things like mentorship programs in house? Have you considered masters in management for people who have less experience in their industries or in their job? And have we also tried things like the postgraduate diploma? So there are other options that you can look at ahead of going into, doing an MBA. But I do think that, qualifications such as the MBAs are still relevant. It's just about how are they now structured. Are they structured to encompass things like the fourth industrial revolution, technology, artificial intelligence, that sort of thing. So I think there is still relevance, but I guess how you use it and how you get it done makes a big difference.
Yeah, so the other interesting thing, you are right to say that there are other, courses and programs that people could consider. So it's not like the MBA is relevant for a specific purpose, I guess, like the lady was explaining. But I also think the most learning happens in the workspace, you are practically doing the work. There's a lot of learning that happens in that space, so we cannot discount that. But look, I still think it's things like the MBA, or even if it's like just one postgraduate diploma. It's things that people should look at just to kind of boost their CVs, because when you when these recruiters are shortlisting and all of that, they look at
someone who stands
out based on their experience as well as what skills they bring and of course the qualifications.
So you definitely need the good combination of those.
Yeah,
exactly. And I guess it also depends what's your vision for your career. And where do you want to go? And sometimes not everything is for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you need to do what you have to do. And I like, what you said earlier about, speaking to your HR, to the management at work to see what can you do to grow to this direction. And also, if you don't have the opportunity or if you don't want to do that, then go to a career counselor. And
HR will continue.
Okay. Find out.
So the moral of the story is that,
guys, if MBA? You want to do an MBA, it might still be relevant, but make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons.
Awesome.
It's a costly and a very time-consuming qualification.
Awesome. So, I need tea, guys. It's tea time now. Lighten, do you have tea for us?
I have so much tea, guys. It's piping hot.
Okay, we'll have tea just after this.
Okay, welcome guys to the Office Podcast. Now we are all about tea time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know, tea time is what we talk about when we go make tea by the canteen or wherever your kitchen is.
Pause area, darling.
Exactly.
Pause area.
Fancy. I didn't know we had fancy words.
There's new desks as well.
Right?
No.
Anyway, so in today's tea time, I've got like what was making the whole of Twitter crazy.
What happened? Tell us.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So we had Rachel Khaleesi. Anyone who doesn't know Rachel Khaleesi, Rachel Khaleesi is the wife of Sia Khaleesi, who is the captain of the Springboks, right? So Rachel went on Twitter, and we're actually on Instagram.
Yeah.
Let me clarify that. Went on Instagram to expose a certain young lady who had presumably sent a DM to CS Instagram of her ass.
Oh,
right?
Sorry,
so I say presumably because the story develops and we find out new facts after, right? But Rachel was mad with such backlash on Twitter. People were not there for Rachel. They were like, girl, we don't care. And also, you need to hold your man.
How did she see the men's DMs, first of all?
Well, she probably had his phone. Which poses a question.
And checking.
Exactly. Which poses a question. If you're already going through your man's DMs, that means that he's giving you a reason to go through his DMs. Right?
I don't know, guys. Sometimes it might just be insecurities.
It is insecurities.
I don't think so. This is how I view it.
You don't think she's insecure?
No,
she's insecure.
But I feel like everybody's insecure in some way, right? But then, but I don't think that was the, no, but I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue is that obviously the husband has given her a reason to check her his phone, sorry, right?
I mean, he's a man, first of all, of course.
Not all men are like that.
And also, he's a sportsman.
Yeah.
He's an athlete, right?
They'll attract attention, you know, unsolicited even. Yeah. Like, come on, guys.
Okay, so do you guys think the backlash was fair?
It was fair. It was much needed.
Why?
He deserved it. This is not the first time.
It's not.
What happened the first time? Someone tweeted something.
Oh, yeah, and she was already telling us how he's a father of four. He's a father of four. Do you know what my concern is? Okay, guys, fine. It's your relationship, your marriage. Your man's phone, your expose, but don't come and ask us to help you find somebody. Yeah. We are not the dog unit. We are not going to go around sniffing people's pages looking for someone that your man is cheating with. I think that's so unfair. Because then that makes us look like we're the people that are wrong because we're not out here to help you. No,
exactly.
No, we're going to get
more. But I do understand that. And I think, you know, it was a little dramatic, a little unnecessary. But what are the protocols for athletes' wives when this kind of thing happens?
I'm sorry, but why is she even tweeting that or Instagramming? Yeah. Why doesn't she talk to the husband? If the relationship or the marriage is between you and this man.
Exactly.
And look, the thing is, if we don't even know if Sia was responding or entertaining these girls or whatever. All we know is that the girl sent the pictures.
Well, what it seems like happened, actually, the girl came back and said, well, he actually DM'd me.
So you know how you can respond to someone's story and then you send it back, you reply to someone's story and then it has... So she sent a screenshot of that.
Of what?
Of Sia responding to...
But saying what?
Guys, it wasn't even spicy.
It was something stupid, really boring.
Check out, you know, because I think it's like a fitness thing because she's quite a fitness person. But my biggest concern is, as Rachel, you're exposing someone who's working somewhere, who's, you know, making a livelihood somewhere, and now you're dragging their name in the mud. This could actually, you know, have implications at their workplace as well, their personal brand as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
she doesn't care about that.
So
she
I think that's my biggest issue from the, you know, suspect side. From the, you know, the victim side. What does that say about her personal brand? Because now she's really diminishing her personal brand.
Rachel doesn't give a damn about the girl.
I mean, like, really. So brand. You see, this is where now legal starts coming in, because now this is where we need to start speaking legal terms.
Yeah, exactly.
And seeking legal advice, because people will really tarnish your name to the point where you could possibly lose your job.
Mm. That is true.
I saw people talking about revenge. The revenge porn. I don't know.
Yeah,
it is, because it's similar to that, because it's quite it's not really nude. So, but it is quite a little, you know, revealing. But also, she had posted that on her Instagram. So, really, is it revenge porn? Because it's already there for everybody to see. So, I don't know if that's really valid, you know. But anyways, guys, I think our collective agreement about the lesson in this story is that...
Rachel, guys, we are saying.
Oh, yes,
reminded me of Khloe Kardashian.
She could open that girl could open a defamation case really if
and
she wanted
she
to.
Her page,
did they not see what Leanda got? Leanda's case was successful, where she actually got someone who was busy like writing yells about her on social media, and she actually took her to court. So I don't think guys take that seriously, and they really should. Rachel must take her L.
To sort herself out.
Yeah.
She needs to stop embarrassing our captain. And now you know what came out now. Now it's like people are now coming out like, you see why this white chick da 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 da. So now people are thinking
it's like
about
a racial thing now.
It's becoming unnecessary.
And like now she was sent to come and you know the first black Springbok captain, and now this. So it's now those.
So then Manduksa also came out of the woodwork, also now defending her man, Lexus. No, bye.
We don't care.
No, guys, bye.
You know, just in closing, I really think, first, we don't care. And second of all, she just needs to sort her home situation at home, because we really do not...
Really? Stop inviting us into your marriage.
Into your marriage, because people are out there to, like, you know... to spectate and speculate about your issues. They're not there to sympathize.
Yeah, no.
And this guy has been such an exemplary sportsman. We've never had like super mega stories or gossip, whatever, about him. Now all of a sudden he's married to you and now he's being dragged. No, we do not like
this. On that note though, I feel like Sia also, there's something
what
there.
Sia do?
I don't know what he does. But for somebody to be this heated, Sia is probably doing something that he shouldn't
that's
be doing.
Business.
There's no
she
evidence,
must not come
so.
Ask us to look for people, yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Lighten. We get it. Rachel must just sort herself out.
Exactly. Rachel should just sort herself out, and we wish her all the best.
Okay, my tea is not finished yet. Can you keep going?
No,
keep
the
going.
Tea is still piping hot. Yes. The next thing that I want to talk about, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but it was quite an exciting one from the U.S. It's the Ivy League college scandal.
I saw that.
Oh, it's
exciting, not in a positive
way. Not in a positive way, of course. It's like, whoo, finally people get caught.
Yes.
We've been knowing this, right?
What happened?
So, basically, I'll just read you this little excerpt from Elle Magazine about the scam, right?
Yeah.
So, the scam involved facilitating cheating on tests like the SAT and the ACT and bribing college administrators and coaches to recruit students as athletes. And it was crazy. And according to an article that BuzzFeed shared, the cheating facilitated in some cases as posing as actual students and by providing students with answers during exams or by correcting their answers after they completed exams.
Wow.
So, and it's broader. It's even way broader than that. But that just like to give you an example of what it was. So a lot of celebrities were actually
caught in this whole scam.
And I think the most popular faces will be Felicity Huffman, who was Lynette Scavo on Desperate Housewives. Do you remember her?
I remember that.
Frank's wife.
Yeah.
Well, Frank.
Exactly. Frank. William H. Macy. Yeah. Exactly. And so she's rumored to have paid $15,000 to doctor her oldest daughter's SAT exam results.
$15,000. Yeah.
It's like over 150,000 rand, right? Mm. And
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. And she got her reps arrested by the FBI. They went to her house. Like, that's, for me, that was the juiciest part. I'm like, honestly, the FBI is like,
But meanwhile, they're letting the FBI to come get sense of
truth. Right?
You don't want to go there.
Let's not go there. But. But the other thing, though, is quite interesting that I found out about this scandal, because it just keeps on giving and giving, is that apparently some of these celebrities and these like popular people actually when they paid this money, they paid it as donations.
Oh my god!
So it doesn't look like a bribe. And then they claimed tax rebates.
Oh my god!
But wait, so now they then they should
the IRS was like,
but
what?
Was it because their kids were too dumb to write those tests? But the thing is, so they were faking those tests.
Yes.
Now, was it to get into the colleges, right?
To get into the college or when in the college?
Even in, because I was going to ask you, so after they got in, so how do they now perform when they're in there?
It can't be easy getting into Ivy
College.
To
get in. And also sometimes they're saying that the articles that I've read, sometimes they're saying that the kids didn't even know that this was happening. Some of the children didn't even know. So it's not like they were in it. The parents were like,
talk about being shielded.
Right? Being shielded.
And
but
apparently
guys,
it's some status thing for these kids to be in those Ivy League.
Ivy League or nothing.
So now you have to now be have a criminal record for just...
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But also, who's going to trust that... As the child, as the innocent one who didn't know that my mom was bribing, schools, who's going to take my qualifications seriously?
Yeah, that is true. But then, technically, I get what you're saying. But then also, we don't know how long this thing has been happening. Mm. So there probably are a lot of people who have graduated and are probably CEOs somewhere.
Oh, shucks,
and
actually, I never thought of
we
that.
Don't even know, Ooh. And then, but guys, just to take it a bit back, do you blame the parents for just... for trying to ensure that their kids have, a good education?
Me, I blame
as a mom, Lelo. Maybe you might
That's actually for Lelo.
I would. I mean, then these kids are gonna expect everything to be handed to them.
True.
Without working hard, I think there is some lesson in knowing that I've earned this. I worked so hard for this. Then you respect it, right? So I wouldn't do that, because then these kids don't understand what hard work is and what goes into getting into that school or getting that qualification. And then just no, I think there's a lesson in working hard to attain something. So I wouldn't do it.
I agree. I wouldn't.
But then, guys, it's like, you know, this brings me to a question that the almost every celebrity student, like celebrity child, goes to like an Ivy League school, right? But do we know if they actually all deserve to be there? Have they actually earned to be there? So
also me, I don't care because it's in America. Let's talk about right. South Africans. Exactly. If this is happening in South Africa, I'd be like, oh my god.
But I feel like it potentially happens everywhere. Look at it from a point of view of top politician children. Right, that might be going to like.
We already know they get tenders.
see, we're not far from that America thing, right? Yeah. So, but guys, like, this has been so exciting for me to watch and laugh about, because
because they got did she come out? No, was she no, on she's, bail or whatever?
Yeah, she's on bail. Felicity. But another actress, Lori Loughlin, she got out on $1 million. Dollar bond.
$1 million.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how big it is.
Isn't that more than what R. Kelly got?
Yeah.
No.
R. Kelly was $100,000.
See? Ah, it's way more. Guys. And it's, and I feel like, you know, I know that it's really, really harsh, and I know that what they did is really, really wrong.
No, but yeah.
But I also feel like, you know, the way they got them to jail quick, they should be that fast to people like R. Kelly. Exactly. Because I'm like, honestly, you guys.
Okay, Lighten, my tea's finished. I have to go back to the office.
All right. The lesson in this is that, guys, do not get caught. Do not get caught.
Do not get caught.
Right.
Welcome back, and thank you, Lighten, for that tea. Tea time was amazing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so guys, thank you so much for staying with us so far. If you would like to connect with us, if you've got any questions that you would like us to help you answer in our office politics section, please send us an email, asktheofficepodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a tweet, #AskTheOfficePodcast. Okay, we are now going away on leave.
Yes.
Putting on the out of office.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I'm out of office, I am out. Just take a guess. What am I doing when I'm not?
You're
at
traveling.
Work? I'm traveling.
Of course.
So today I want us to talk about solo travel.
Yes.
Now and again it happens, but there are a lot of people who get disappointed by friends. You plan a trip, next thing people don't pitch in, they cancel, and then you end up being the only one left, and now you wonder, do I go alone? If I travel alone, who's gonna take my pictures?
Exactly. Oh, that's all hard.
So Lighten, you've done solo travel. Kia, you've also done solo travel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You went to Vietnam.
I did Hong Kong, Vietnam, and Cambodia.
So why did you decide to travel alone?
Well, it was my 30th birthday, and I remember I wanted to do like a party, and you know, like do like bonang and be extra and everything. And then I just thought, why am I spending money on people?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought I'm gonna take
myself away. But the reason why I generally like to travel alone, because I don't like to consult anyone if I want to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's out of like a selfish point of view. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like when I travel alone, I actually have a different experience. I'm more open to things. I don't do the whole thing of like, oh, we're in a crew and we're going to do this together. We're going to do that. I meet people. I do things that I don't even expect myself to do. So that was quite exciting.
Did you get to meet people while you
were traveling? Yeah, I got to meet a lot of people. I met like a few friends from Iceland, from Hong Kong, and that I'll be visiting actually this year and next year. So it's been quite, it'll been quite good.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So you made like friends now.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And Kia?
Oh no, my first solo trip was London, UK. And it was more of a work trip, but I was literally alone most of the time. Anyway, if I'm not in the office, I was alone. So
I haven't been to London.
Oh, it's I love it. Actually, I'd relocate if I wanted to.
Really?
If I
was that going. Weather?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no. I don't think, you know what, guys? I think I'd mentally prepared myself for it.
Yeah.
Because I know that it is what it is. So you mentally prepare yourself for it. And I've got quite a few South African friends who stay there.
Okay.
So I mean, they do let you know that, okay, cool, don't worry. The weather it's cold, whatever. But I mean, everywhere else is warm. So you don't really feel it unless you're like walking out from one place to the next, you know, things like that. And yes, in winter it's worse because you hardly see the sun. You walk into the office, it's dark. You walk out, it's dark. So by 4 p.m. it's dark, literally like pitch black.
Yeah. So what did you do when you're there alone?
So I didn't have an itinerary. That's one thing. I just figured, you know what, I'll wing it. And I think one thing I enjoyed was, you know, going to the different food places. Mm. When I travel, I enjoy trying out different foods, what the locals like doing. And one thing I enjoy doing, and my goodness, my boss mustn't listen to this, but one thing I tried, my colleagues and I did, was drinking during lunchtime. So we went and got some Pimm's. Because the guys, they drink a lot, guys.
No, they do.
Lunchtime, the bars are
lunchtime.
Full.
Lunchtime?
Yes. Wow. Lunchtime, you walk out, the bars are full in their suits, the bankers are, you know, because it's city, and it's a city of bankers, lawyers, and then, you know, and on the weekends, it's so quiet, it's blank.
Big one. Okay, sorry. Off topic.
No comment. Let's just say
let's just say I could get me a visa if I want. But you know, it's exactly that. And then one thing it also forces you to do is to get to know people. So yeah. I enjoyed speaking to people. I met a lady who works on American Airlines. Mm-hmm. She actually paid for my dinner where we had dinner at Duck and Waffle, which is like a 40-story building, and you have and we just met waiting for a table, and we're like, hey, we'll share a table. They share a table together. She even paid for the dinner.
That is awesome.
You know? Lovely. So that's what I enjoy about solo travel. And then
you get to meet people that you wouldn't.
Yeah,
because if you were sitting with someone, you probably would not even have interacted with her. Yeah.
You know, so that's what I enjoyed. And the picture part, guys, is very important. But I had a selfie stick. And I also.
Hey, so what year was this?
I guess 2000 and something. It might as well have been. But I think it was 2006. Yeah. 2016 or so. But it's that. But also, people realize that you are a foreigner and you are visiting, so they're more than happy to take pictures of you.
Did you guys
and
worry about
better pictures than South Africans?
International
people.
What do you mean?
Like, if for example, I give one of my friends,
you have wrong friends.
No, that's what I'm saying. My friends and ISAC, right? So, well, some of my friends, Brooklyn, for example, she's really good at taking pictures, but then Tanya and I, like, really suck at pictures. Yeah. But, like, if we ask, like, a random person, they just get it right. Even when we went to Thailand, they just got it right.
I'm never like you with random people taking pictures, they take the worst pictures.
Oh, no. And you always have the best, so it must be your friends.
But it's the friends. But now, do you guys ever worry about safety if you're traveling to all these foreign places? Yeah.
I did. I think being, like, a black gay male in Asia, like, I definitely... did, because firstly I'm like the unusual so in every
were
way
were they pointing at you and
not really it was just like you know people would stare you know, because they wouldn't really see a lot of black people around, not more in Hong Kong but definitely more in Vietnam.
Yes.
And yeah, like I worried about safety, so what I did was that I downloaded Grindr. If you don't know what Grindr is, it's just like app, which is
it's the Tinder for gays.
Not even the Tinder, it's a hookup station for gays.
I'll pass.
I downloaded Grindr and then I just like I chatted to a few guys just to find out where to go, where not to go, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable.
Is nice.
So I did that, and
that is so cool.
So and that's what I do, like when I travel alone with the Tinder or those apps to find out where can I go, what should I avoid, and everything. Because sometimes you do the reading, but not everybody really tells you. And what was nice is that with that Grindr thing, so I got to Vietnam, right? Yes. So I landed in the evening, and then by the time I'm getting to my Airbnb, I already had like a message from this guy, and he was like, oh, do you want to go for dinner?
Hey.
But I was like, it's 8 p.m. and I hadn't even gotten there. So I said to him, please send me like your a copy of your driver's license so I could send it to my host.
Oh, okay.
So that if anything happens, he knows where I am. And then he came to pick me up, and this is almost like a midnight now because I had to refresh and like, you know. And we go out, and then people are staring at us, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, you know, it's just uncomfortable. Mm. It's like a black guy with a Vietnamese guy. We're probably on a date. It turns out he is Filipino, actually.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I found out that people are not really looking at me. They're looking at him because he's a celebrity. He was like an idol person.
Damn. So,
yeah, and so here you are thinking he's looking at you.
Exactly. Interesting.
But I like that Tinder using those apps actually works. I did that as well. But a disclaimer, guys. We're not, please. We're not saying go out and just randomly connect with people around the world.
Yes.
Please think about your safety first. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just be careful when you do these things. But it does help as well, because the people, you just like, hey, I'm actually visiting. Mm-hmm. And even some of these apps, people do have on their profiles in the country, just visiting, looking for friends, looking for people to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And you connect, and it actually works. I met a lady on there as well.
Yeah.
Because for that purpose, for the travel purpose, I just made it, you know, women and men.
Oh.
So that women also, because I wasn't just looking for men.
I was like, is there something that you want to tell us?
No.
You can do women and men.
Yeah. You can filter. So I did women and men so that it's not like just men. I wanted to meet other ladies as well, other girls. And it works. And yeah.
Okay. So would you do solo travel again?
I would. I would. I just don't know where I would go on my own at the moment. Mm. But I'm enjoying traveling with people, because I also enjoy seeing the world through someone else's eyes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I enjoy group travel as well a lot.
Yeah. I definitely will be. I've decided after the last one that every year for my birthday, I'll do a solo trip.
Mm. Whoop.
So, so next off, I think I'm going to be off to Senegal and Mali.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Well, that's amazing, guys. I think I've done solo travel quite a lot.
Yes. You're the one who went to Croatia when it was cold and raining.
What, did you not check the
No, it was supposed to be warm, and then I got there and it's like super cold.
Oh.
And then I went to Madrid, but I was only in Madrid for like 2 days. Madrid was perfect. It was amazing. I was like, okay, I'm not staying indoors. I just went out and and I used Airbnb, because they've got these experiences.
Yeah.
So there's this group where you can actually go and go bar hopping with like people who are traveling.
So, cool.
So I did that while in Madrid, and it was really amazing, because everybody's there. They don't know one another, so then you get to connect. I met this couple that was traveling from India, and then there was actually a guy from South Africa who was there as well.
Oh, cool.
It was really, really nice. So I think I really do love solo travel, because sometimes you just want to be alone, but I think it's also nicer for like your beach type places.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you go for relaxation and all of that. But if you are in a city, it can get lonely if you are alone.
Yeah.
Unless then you go to Grindr or Tinder, But so I think
that sounded like a lot of shade.
So you guys, though, the moral of the story is that do not let your leave days go to waste.
Yeah.
Just because people are not now pitching in or canceling on you does not mean that you should now cancel the trip.
Amen.
True.
You wanted to add something. All right, cool. So that was our travel discussion out of the office. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really, really appreciate you. We hope you will join us again next week.
Yes.
Are we coming back next week?
We're coming back next week.
I think we should come back every week.
Yes.
Every week.
What do you guys say?
So, yeah, they must let us know. #AskTheOfficePodcast. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.